Well, I must be honest with you, I'm blessed because it's really cold and there's actually a lot of people. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Amen. The Word of God says, better is one day in God's house than 1,000 days elsewhere. There's a lot of places you could have gone tonight. To your bed. Mustn't I tempt you? That spirit of slumber is leaving tonight. There's a lot of places you could have gone, but let me tell you what, this is the best place for you. Amen? By far. All right. I'm busy with a series on understanding curses. I understand that a lot of people don't like us to talk about these things because apparently it's negative, and in the church you're only supposed to preach about good stuff. Well, let me tell you something. This is very good stuff. Because if you understand this, your life can actually be blessed. You see, there is such a thing as blessings, but there is also such a thing as curses. You can't just expect the blessing. If you don't know how to get rid of the curse, you will not have the blessing. You know, let's talk about recipes just very quickly. When you follow a recipe, there's a whole bunch of things that you should do. But by definition, if you should do one thing, it's also telling you don't do another thing. Amen? Now, there's a lot of people, they say, oh, but you know what? I'm this and I'm that and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But sometimes it's the things that you don't do that causes problems. Or sometimes it's the things that you do when you shouldn't be doing it that causes the problem. Now, Christianity is funny this way. We like to believe in perfection. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but you can only get to that perfection when you start dealing with the blemishes. Scripture says Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle. That means that we need to start dealing with the spots and the wrinkles. Amen? Now, please don't go home and tell your husband, the pastor says you must send me for facial and, you know, all sorts of. That's not what I'm talking about. The spots and the wrinkles that I'm talking about is the stuff that's wrong in your life. You'd like all smiling. You were going to tell your husband that, weren't you? Yeah. Let's look at this scripture. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Verse 1, you foolish Galatians. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for you to be a Christian and still be foolish? I see a couple of people with knowing glances here. You know, like, I know a couple of them. You know. I'm sure you do. And a couple of people were thinking of you when they, you know. Anyway, you foolish Galatians. Listen to me carefully. I know that you don't like to hear this, but it's possible to sit in church. It's possible to have grown up in church. It's possible to be able to say to me, but Rian, I've known God for the last 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and you can still fall under that classification, you foolish Christian. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? There's a lot of people that say, but you know what, Rian, witchcraft doesn't work and this and that. It's not biblical. It does work. It is real. Why do you think the Bible says give the devil no place? Come on. If you invite a thief into your house and he steals from you, who's the stupid one, the thief or you? Unfortunately, you. And there's a whole bunch of Christians that do exactly that. They keep inviting the devil back into their life and then they want to come and cry because they have nothing. But you're the reason why you have nothing, because you keep inviting the stupid thing back into your life. And that's why we need to teach you this stuff so that you can stop doing the things that invite the devil, or by definition, the thief, into your life. Because I have to get you to understand something. Prosperity is available to everybody, but some people will never experience it. Because you can't prosper when you live with a thief. It's impossible. I saw a video of you just now. Apparently, you need more prayer than I thought. Huh? Now, You foolish Galatians. The only way for us to stop being foolish is to accept the truth. Why? Because the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. On Friday night, I had a meeting in Heidelberg and the Lord just gave me a word while I was driving there. And I liked it so much that I'm going to share it with you tonight because I think it's very good and it's going to speak to a lot of you. Who of you were here last week when we spoke about the tongue? Actually, we didn't really speak about the tongue, but later on when I prayed for people, the tongue kept coming up. We probably had about 120, 150 people, yeah? And the power of God started coming through this place and people were set free from what they spoke over themselves and what they have been doing wrong with their tongue. And you know, I know you couldn't see what I could see, but probably you can testify about it. Some of the things when I prayed over the group, 80, 90% of the people that were here started manifesting. Do you know what I'm talking about? Were you here? Does that tell you that we have a big problem with our mouths? Does that tell you that we have a big problem with our tongues? Now you see, the thing is, I want to give you the teaching that you should have got last week when God started working with the tongue. Because the main reason why some people are cursed is not because of witchcraft. It's not because of sorcery. It's not because of somebody doing something against them. It's because of what they do to themselves all the time. And if you don't understand this, you can't have a prosperous life. Let's look at the book of James chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. All right. Tonight we're talking about the tongue. And I want to show you what the Bible says about all of us. Look at your neighbor and say, open your ears. God is talking to you. Listen to what the Word of God says. Verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. There you have it. Even the Bible says this is one of our biggest problems, because the Bible says if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Can all the perfect men in this place raise their hands? Nobody. Because my friend, no matter what you think, you're not perfect when it comes to this stuff. We tend to mess up with what we say often. But what we don't realize is you can still be paying for what you spoke 10 years ago today because you've never fixed it. You must understand something. If something is broken, it doesn't necessarily fix itself. You often have to do something to actually fix it. And a lot of Christians never do something to fix the problems that they caused with their mouth. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now listen to this, verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by very strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. He's talking about the tongue, and he's telling us how destructive the tongue can be. Is there anybody here that has been a victim of gossip? Wave at me. Tell me something. When gossip is released against you, does it promote your life or does it demote your life? Does it give you peace or does it give you problems, trials, tribulations, stress? Okay. Can we all agree that it's not a good thing? Then why do you still do it? You've been burnt by it many times, but other people do it. But for some strange reason, you don't learn nothing from it because we still do it. We still like to chiri-chiri about other people. I want to tell you something. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people go nowhere in life. Not because the devil is busy. The devil has to be busy. It's his job to be busy. It's your job not to give him place so that he won't be busy in your life. But the more you do these things, the more you open yourself up to him to start coming and working in your life. Gossip is extremely destructive. Speaking behind other people's backs is extremely destructive, not just for the person that you're speaking about, but also for you. Now listen to this. He's speaking about a horse. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So he says, if I have control over the mouth of a horse, I can steer him wherever I want to go. Now, there's a couple of people here tonight. You might as well be the horse and Satan is the rider. He's got control over your mouth, and through your mouth, he steers your life wherever he wants you to go. If you have given your mouth over to the evil one through gossip and slander and speaking bad, then I want to say to you that he's going to ride you. And he is going to change your destiny for you. Because through your mouth, he can change the course of your life. Look at your neighbor and say, this is bad stuff. God has a destiny for all of us. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. I'm glad that you're smiling because you should. The plan that God has for your life is good. The word of God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God wants to prosper us. Now please look at your neighbor and say, that's good news. I can say to you irrevocably, unequivocally, that it is God's heart for you to be prosperous. That it is God's heart for you to be blessed. Now if you are not blessed right now, then you are the opposite of blessed, which is what? Cursed. You decide for yourself whether you're blessed or not. It's not my place to say. But I want to show you why, one of the reasons why a lot of people are not blessed. All right, so we can go and we can say, we can argue, according to the word of God, that it is God's heart for all of us to be blessed. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Should your future be blessed or cursed according to God? Wave at me if you agree that your future should be blessed. Don't knock your neighbor senseless, please. Of course your future should be blessed. That's what the word of God says. But now, how many Christians never experience the blessing of God? Too many. They don't have peace in their life. They don't have peace in their job. They don't have peace in their marriage. They don't have peace in their mind. There's problems. In other words, they have not reached the destiny that God set before them. When God brought you to this earth, you're not some weird science experiment that went wrong. God actually had a plan with you when he sent you down here. Yes, when you reach God, when you understand that you need him and you connect with him through Jesus Christ, his son, then it is your responsibility to begin to understand what your destiny is. Well, your destiny, I can't tell you individually, because my destiny is different from your destiny, is different from your destiny. But the fact of the matter is that my destiny is to be blessed and to be a blessing to God and to be a blessing through God to those he wants me to touch. And in the same way, you should be blessed in a similar way, but along a different path. Now, I need a volunteer. Who can I ask to volunteer? You, please come forward. Your name is Freddy, right? You're not Freddy Krueger, right? I'm just checking. You better not come into my dreams tonight. Okay. This is Freddy. Do you all agree with me that God has a plan for Freddy's life? Do you all agree with me that according to the Bible, the plan that God has for his life is to bless him and not curse him? For him to have a prosperous future. That's biblical. Right? Okay, now, in order to make this work, let's quickly put it this way. God has a plan for your life. God's prosperity lies in your future, not in your past. Is that right? So where should your focus be? On the future. So why is there so many people that only live in the past? and then they still expect God to bless them. Can you see that it's impossible? Your focus must be on the future. Now, Freddie, let's all argue that through this, down this aisle towards there lies your future. Towards there lies your blessing. If he wants to get from where he is now to the blessing, he needs to start going on the path God has destined for him. But now, let's put another thing out there. Scripture also says, there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. So every one of us, we've got these two choices. We can either live the life that God destined us to live, or we can be rebellious and fight God and insist on living my life. You know, Frank Sinatra wasn't right when he said, I did it my way. Because doing it your way is often very wrong in God's eyes. You must do it his way if you want to be blessed. You must do it his way if you want to be prosperous. So Freddie here, he has some options. He can go down this path and be blessed, or he can choose to go wherever he wants to go and miss it completely. Do you know how many people die every day? Having met God, but never reached their destiny. Because they were always fighting God in some way, trying to do it their way. Now let's just say for argument's sake that Freddie has understood what God wants him to do. He's been going to church, he's been reading his Bible, God has been speaking to him, he's had some revelation, wisdom has come to him, the truth has set him free, things have happened, and he begins to understand what his destiny is. God has begun to illuminate the path that he should walk. All that's left now is for him to walk this road. It's also called the narrow road. On a narrow road, there's not a lot of room for maneuver, is there? You need to stay focused. Now, what does the Bible say? What happens when your mouth is not right? When your mouth is not right, you give control of your life away. Hello? Because through the mouth, the course of your life will be determined. Here's Freddie now. He needs to get from here to there because there's his future, there is his blessing, there is his destiny. This is what happens. So he begins to walk this road with God. He starts going forward. But you know, every day Freddie speaks things. Now here's the problem with Freddie. Freddie's heart got saved, but his mouth is not saved at all. In fact, his mouth is an uncircumcised Philistine. How's that? And so this mouth gets him into hot water all the time. Let's talk about our old friend gossip. He's got his eyes focused on the future. He wants to live the right life. But now somebody has upset him, or he's heard this, let's put it this way, he's heard this juicy little tidbit about somebody. Let's say me. Somebody's come to him and said, oh, have you heard the latest about Rion? Chitty, 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 chitty. And of course now Freddie can't wait to pass this little tidbit on. Does he know whether it's true, yes or no? No. And let's be very honest, the source might not be very reliable either. You know, some people, they're like the postmaster general. They're just in the business of pushing information out there as quickly as possible. So he got this information and now he can't wait. He's running over to George so that he can tell George the latest news about me. He doesn't care whether it's true or not. It's mind-blowing, so he has to share it. He was on his way forward. But the Bible says when your mouth is wrong, you give over control of your life. Now, who will you be giving control of your life over to when you speak the wrong things? To God or to Satan? Now, does Satan want him to go down the path of his destiny, yes or no? Oh, so the devil's very excited. A great opportunity has just presented itself for Satan to start sidetracking this man. And nothing he does is going to change it until he changes his mindset. So, in the beginning, he was focused. He was going down this path. The moment he entertains gossip, Satan uses his mouth to change his destiny. Instead of him taking a step forward now, he's going to take a couple of steps back. Because you see, the devil doesn't want him to go down that road. Why not? Because that road is blessed. And Satan is not in the business of blessing people. He's in the business of cursing people. He wants this man to be cursed. He stops gossiping, starts getting back on track, takes a couple of steps forward. But you see, his tongue is still very much not saved. And the things that comes out of his mouth is still very much dangerous. Let's turn away from gossip just for a second. Do you know that the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue? And you see, Freddie likes to speak things. He likes to speak his mind. He doesn't think before he says things. And he's going through a bit of a difficult patch, and he says things like, man, my life is never going to go anywhere. I'm pathetic. I'm useless. Nobody cares for me. What, oh me, oh my, I want to die. Now he begins to talk things like that. What is happening now? He's still going somewhere. He's just not going where God wants him to go. Now, I want to show you, I'm going to fast forward. You know, you get these special video cameras. They're called time lapse. And then you can, when you play it back, you can actually make it look very funny. It's like things go very quick. So let me show you quickly what's going to happen in his life. It's like a little bit forward, a little bit back, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit forward, a little bit back, a little bit yeah. The fact of the matter is, if you run a time lapse on the average Christian's life, that's probably what you're going to see. If they don't start changing the way they speak, after 10 years, after 15 years, they will have crossed only this small little area. And that's when you turn around, you look back at your life and you say, but I haven't accomplished anything. I haven't achieved any of the goals I set for myself. Why will the devil allow you to accomplish your goals if you've given him the right to sidetrack you and backtrack you in your life by the things that you speak and the things that you say? That's exactly what he's been waiting for. He can't believe how lucky he is because you are giving him all the power he needs to destroy your life. And the only way to change that is to change the way you speak, to change the things you say. I want to explain something to you. Freddie, you can sit down. Thank you. Give him a hand, please. Would you call gossip good or would you call it evil? So would you call it something that is uplifting or something that is destructive? Okay. If I come to him and I want to share the latest gossip with him, am I filling him with good things or am I filling him with bad things? Did God call him to be a dustbin, yes or no? Do you want to turn your life into a dustbin? The only way for you to stop all the rubbish that keeps coming into your life is to stop what you're listening to. If you like to hear the latest news, if you like to hear the latest gossip, you've turned your life into a dustbin. Do you know what you find in dustbins? Cockroaches, flies, fly larvae. What else? Rats. Ooh, that's even worse. If you want your life to be filled with all of these things, spiritually speaking, then you should turn yourself into a dustbin. It's not a good thing to be gossiping, and it's not a good thing to be on the receiving end of gossip, because both of these things are simply going to destroy your life whether you like it or not. Now, let's look at the scripture again. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. The Bible is trying to tell us that your life is like a ship. And that ship should be pointed in the direction of its destination. Now for you, your destination is prosperity. For you, your destination is the promised land. It's the place where you experience the blessing of God, where you go forward, where you gain victory in the areas where you haven't had it before. But there's one crucial thing that should be working right on that ship, and it's called the rudder. And the things you speak, the things you say will determine where this ship goes. If you speak righteous things, if you speak truth, if you speak godly things, you will go, you will track straight and true. But every time you gossip, you go either left or right. Every time you curse people by the things you say, you go either left or right. And the fact of the matter is, if you keep a rudder going left all the time, what do you end up with? A circle. You end up with a life that has gone 15 years, 20 years, 40 years, and you can say, I have gone nowhere with my life. And let me help you to understand where people are wrong. Then you blame the wife, you blame the children, you blame the dog, you blame the teacher, you blame your parents, you blame the system. Maybe they have a point there, I don't know. You blame the president. You definitely have a point there. But ultimately, you can only blame yourself, because who's the rudder? You are. And what determines where the rudder points? Look at your neighbor and say, your tongue. Ooh. You see, this is what people don't like. They're not supposed to come to church and you give them a hiding. They want to come and get good news. I'm giving you good news. If you stop doing the things you're doing, you'll start tracking straight and true. You'll start reaching your destiny. You'll start living an abundant life. You'll start experiencing the blessing. If I don't tell you these things, you're going to have big problems. Amen? You're going to have big, big problems. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Have you ever seen a forest fire? You know what? There are areas in this world where when a forest fire breaks out, it will destroy everything. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing humanly possible that can stop the destruction that is caused by certain forest fires. They spread like what we call wildfire. And they bring tons and tons and tons of destruction. But what was it that was, what started it all? Sometimes it's a match, sometimes it's a cigarette butt. It's something that when we look at it, we say, but that's insignificant. But it's not that bad. Listen to me carefully. What you don't think is bad can end up destroying a lot of people's lives. Because a forest fire doesn't discriminate between what is a good tree and what is a bad tree. What is a good animal, what is a bad animal. A forest fire just wants to destroy, 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 destroy. And gossip is exactly the same. You share something you don't think is a problem, but you don't know whether it's true or not. In time, a lot of destruction can go because of that. You speak something into somebody's life. You don't think it's that bad, but you've cursed them and you've caused a lot of destruction to come into their life. Guess what? The Bible says what you sow, you will reap. If I speak good things into your life, what will come back to me? If I speak bad things into your life, what will come back to me? Now I want you to just take a bit of time, take a moment or two and think about your life. Think about some of the things that you've been saying, things that you've been pushing out of your lips, that have rolled off your tongue. And then I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. Be honest with yourself. If you listen to what comes out of your mouth and the things you speak about other people, do you deserve to be blessed, yes or no? Now you understand why you're battling. Because of the things that we say. Because of the things that we speak. Can we change it? Yes, we can. Praise God. We can change it. But listen to me. Your destiny will not change until you don't change. And by that I mean you will not reach your destiny until you change what comes out of your mouth. Now listen to this. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of a body. The tongue also is a fire. The Bible is trying to warn us that some of the things that come out of our mouth will perpetrate fire into people's lives and fire into our lives. And you must understand that there is a big difference between the fire of God and the fire of the tongue. Because the fire of God purifies. The fire of God leads to holiness. The fire of God is called his anointing, which can equip you to be a prophet, to be a priest, to be a king, to live a victorious life. When the fire of God falls, demons run. But when the fire comes out of your mouth, instead of them running away from you, they start running towards you. Because you call them to bring destruction. The fire that comes out of the tongue is the same as the fire in hell. Because listen to what scripture says. Listen to this. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Let's get one thing straight. Hell was never created for man. Hell was created for Satan and demons. But there's a lot of people that choose to go there by the things that they do or don't do. I've heard a lot of people say, man, I have hell on earth. I'm beginning to understand what they're talking about. If your tongue is not saved and you keep speaking rubbish, you will have hell on earth because the same fire that burns down there starts burning in your life. And can I tell you how this manifests? Nothing works out for you. Because that invisible fire, you don't have to see it for it to be there. It might be invisible, but it's powerful. It destroys everything that is good. It destroys everything that is godly. It keeps you from going forward, and it always pushes you back. You work hard, but you have nothing to show for it, because it burns up all the profit before you can put it into your pocket. It burns at your relationships. It burns at your future. It burns at your mind. The fire that comes from the tongue is absolutely destructive. And the devil can't believe his luck. He doesn't have to wait for one day when you're in the pit of hell to burn you with the fire. He can burn you right now, because your tongue is the valve that opens the fire to start coming into your life. Now, look at this. It says here, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. Ooh. We like to say, ooh, but your friends have corrupted you. But the Bible says you corrupt yourself by what comes out of your mouth. Now, that's not nice to hear, but that's the truth. And the truth is the only thing that can really set you free. A lot of people's lives are corrupt. They've got nothing to show for themselves. And the only person that they have to blame is themselves, because they are the ones that keep doing it. Now I want to take you somewhere else. We'll come back to this. No. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 12. Let's read from verse 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom that is divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. All right. The story goes like this. Jesus heals a man that was blind and mute. He couldn't speak and he couldn't see. Jesus heals him by casting a demon out of him. In other words, the man did not have a physical infirmity. He had a spiritual problem that looked like a physical infirmity. The Pharisees could never be happy for somebody else. They always had a problem. Their greatest problem was probably jealousy. Because you see, Jesus was going around and people were following him, but the Pharisees wanted them to follow them. And because their hearts were not in a good place, their mouths were not in a good place, and you'll see that now. So they spoke a lot of nonsense. They spoke about things they knew nothing about. And I want to get to that now. The more things change, the more they stay the same. This world is still full of people that like to speak about things they know nothing about. You know, there's an old proverb that says, a wise man has something to say, a fool has to say something. How many times does that happen? People insist on talking about stuff they know nothing about, entertaining things about people's lives they don't even know, and they think everything's going to be fine. Do you know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Do you know what he called the Pharisees? You brood of vipers. For in case you don't understand that, that's not a compliment. He called them a bunch of snakes. Who's the big snake? Satan. In other words, Jesus called the Pharisees, because of what came out of their mouths, children of the devil. What comes out of your mouth can side you with them. And if you turn into a child of Satan, you should not be surprised if your father's characteristics begin to come out of your life and he destroys your life. Now listen to this. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And I tell you that every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit of God will not be forgiven. Now you must listen carefully. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, neither in this age nor in the age to come. The greatest problem that you can bring into your life comes into your life by what you speak. Did you hear? He who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. For some people, the greatest problem is murder. For some people, the greatest problem is molestation. For some people, the greatest problem is rape. For some people, the greatest problem is whatever you want to call it, theft. According to the Bible, the worst thing that you can do is speak certain things with your mouth. Because that will not be forgiven you. You can speak yourself into hell if you don't watch it. You better watch what comes out of your mouth. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Now I want to show you this. Jesus says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's stop there. A lot of people have problems with their mouths. They are negative. They are destructive in the things that they say. They side themselves with the devil by the things that they say. They gossip. They just cause problems, problems, problems. But now there's one more thing that Jesus adds here that we have to look at. Blaming your tongue is only half the problem. Because the tongue releases what comes out of what? What comes out of your heart. If you just try and change your tongue without changing your heart, your life will still not go forward, because listen to where the tongue gets its information from. The heart. Jesus' words, listen carefully, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Fergal Sharkey sang a song, a good heart these days is hard to find. Apparently he read the Bible. How do you know whether you have a good heart or not? Look at what's come out of your mouth in the last month. Oh, now everybody's quiet. But look at what's come out of your heart. You want to know whether you have a good heart, and why is it good for you to, why is it necessary for you to have a good heart? Let me just put it to you as simple as possible. Where does Jesus live? In your heart. You know, some of you, you've given him a 5-star palace to live in. Some of you, you haven't even given him a shack to live in. Hello? Me, I want him to have a 5-star palace here. But that means I have to watch what comes out of my mouth, because what comes out of my mouth shows me the quality of life, quality of heart that I really have. And then, here's a serious one. Verse 36, Jesus is now talking to the Pharisees, and what caused all of this was what came out of the mouths of the Pharisees. And I want you to understand, Jesus is not impressed with them. He's upset with them because of what they've been speaking. He ends off by saying this to them, "But I tell you that every man will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that he has spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Ooh, how scary is that? One day when you stand before God, what's going to come up? Not so much what you did, but what you said. If you're feeling nervous now, you got reason to. Because you know what's come out of your mouth. How scary is this? Your words will acquit you, which means will set you free. Or your words will condemn you, put you in bondage. Now, we're talking about things that curse your life. Proverbs 18 verse 21, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Stick out your tongue at me quickly. It's not just there for you to kiss with. It's not just there for you to go. It's not just there for you to gossip with. It's not just there for you to destroy with. It is a tool to release blessing. If you begin to use it as a tool to release blessing, you will have one of the most blessed lives you can think of. But you probably need to change some areas of your life, some attitudes of your heart. Life and death is in the power of not God, or the devil, you control it. Life and death, whether you have life or whether you have death will be determined by what comes out of your mouth. Do you understand me? It will be determined by what comes out of your mouth. Now, when we speak of death, death is the ultimate curse. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. In other words, if you want your marriage to be blessed, what should you do? Make sure that what comes out of your mouth is good. If you want your finances to be blessed, what should you do? Well, let me help you to understand something. You can put a lot of money with Absa. You can put a lot of money with Old Mutual. You can go onto the stock exchange and get yourself a phenomenal broker, and you can hope that everything's going to be fine. But no matter how much growth there is in the economy, if your mouth is corrupt, you will make no money. Because death will follow you everywhere, and it'll suck up everything that you make. Death means you can't go forward. Death is the opposite of life. If death touches your finances, you have nothing. If death touches your mind, you have nothing. If death touches your marriage, you have no more marriage. So what good is it that you've come up with all of these plans to take care of your future, but everything you speak is death? Because I want to promise you something, you will have no future. You've canceled it out by the words that you've spoken. How's that going to work? It's a curse. You will make probably a bit of money on the stock exchange, but guess what? Before you have time to retire with it, the car's engine blows up. You have to fix it because you've got to get to work. 20,000 rand. Then the geyser bursts and there was some problem with the policy. Somebody forgot to do something. 30,000 rand for new carpets and this and that and wada wada. calamity and destruction follow you. It's like a magnet clinging to you. And even though there might be money coming in from one area, disaster flows in from another area, and the disaster will be greater than the finances. I can promise you that. Because that's just how death works. It wrings every little bit of life out of you. And we get upset and we say to God, oh Lord, why do you do these things? Why do you allow this to happen to me? God looks down at you and he says, why do you allow it? Because life and death is in your power. God wants to bless you, but in order for him to bless you, you have to get with the program and give him something to work with. Start speaking life. Start speaking blessing. I want to ask you a question. What do you speak about other people? Oh, that Rion is such an idiot. Oh, he's a moron. Oh, he doesn't know how to preach. Man, he takes forever. And then he makes me lie on that cold floor, man. The oak must just get alive. Well, good for you. But you must understand something. When you speak negative things over my life, you're speaking death over me, and that means death is going to come for you. You must understand one thing. God loves his children. He's not impressed if we use our tongues as weapons to cut against them. The sword of the Spirit is called the Word of God. When you use the Word of God, it's like a sword is released from your mouth that begins to cut against the work of the enemy. But there can also be another sword released by your tongue. Gossip releases a sword. Every time you gossip about somebody, in the spirit, your tongue is cutting against them. Don't think that that will not come back to you, because it will. When you actually curse somebody else, ah, I wish so-and-so will just die. I wish everything bad will just come to them and wada-wada, guess what? At that moment, you've turned your tongue into a weapon. That weapon is working against that person, and it will come back to you. And let me help you to understand how these things work. What you sow, you will reap. When I sow 1 milli, little milli pip, I get a whole head of millis. There can be 1,000 pips on that head. So sometimes when you sow, you can have 1,000-fold increase. If you sow death into my life, imagine what your life will look like if you get 1,000-fold increase of death in your life. Then you still wonder why you go nowhere. When there's that much death, there can't be much life. Now, getting back to what I just shared with you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. Okay. You know, there's a proverb that says, you will eat your words. Where does that come from? That comes from the Bible. Because the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. In other words, what comes out of your mouth at some point in time, whether you like it or not, whether you're interested or not, it will always be brought back to you, and you will have to eat it again. Does any of you know how a cow operates? They eat a bunch of stuff, they just chomp it down quickly, and then later on they regurgitate it and they chung chung, you know, they chow it again. Yeah, I know that that's not a nice, very, very nice picture, but it's true. But you see, exactly the same thing is going to happen to you and I. Everything that leaves your mouth today, tomorrow will be brought back to you, and you will have to chew it and swallow it again. Now listen to me. If you've spoken curses, you will eat curses. If you've spoken destruction, you will eat destruction. If you've spoken negativity or death, you will have to eat those words. And it's not just chewing them, you will be made to swallow them. A lot of people cannot go anywhere because they have spiritual indigestion, because of the words that came out of their mouth that they were forced to eat at some point in time. A lot of people are sick because of what they keep speaking. And the devil doesn't even have to make them sick. It's their own words that is making them sick. Some people's mouths are poisonous pits. You know, bitter people, they speak bitter things. And if you eat bitter things, what happens to your stomach? Well, you'll get an ulcer. You'll get pains. You'll go nowhere. Now anyway, I'm not here to just give you a negative message. But I have to get you to understand how serious this problem is. We're not talking about a Mickey Mouse problem here. We're talking about a hell of a big problem. What you speak over other people will come back to you. Listen to me. What you speak over other people will come back to you. The things you speak over them are the things that tomorrow you'll have to chew. Good food gives us energy. Amen? Okay, I know it makes you sleepy as well. But it also gives you energy. It allows you, no, I never said you were. It also allows you to go forward, right? If you don't get nourishment, you can't produce energy. If you have no energy, you have no life. If you have no life, you can't go anywhere. If good food does that to you, what does bad food do to you? It sucks the energy, it sucks the life out of you. Some people have no zeal for life because of what they have to eat. It's called your own words. You will eat your own words. I want to say something to you. The next time you speak something about my life, make sure that it's good. Because if you speak good things into my life, God can allow good things to come into your life. The next time you speak about O Fernando, yeah, you better watch what you say. Because somebody's got his back. Do you know who's got his back? The Word of God. The Word of God has to be put into effect, whether you like it and I like it or not. And God doesn't have to make sure that this happens. The way that He created us, the way that His Word works, the moment you speak it, it's out there. It's like a boomerang. You can throw it as hard as you want. You can throw it as skew as you want. It's going to come back to you. And it'll come back and fill you. And if it was fruit, it'll propel you forward. If it was thorns and thistles, it'll destroy you. Does anybody know what a bramble bush is? Do you not know what a bramble bush is? It is a thing, it's like a shrub or a bush or something. I don't know exactly what to call it. But I tell you what, you've never seen thorns like this in your life. They are razor sharp and there is like a gazillion of them on every branch. The whole tree is one big thorn. Some of the things we speak, it's like releasing that bramble bush, that bramble vine to go out. Imagine if that thing has to come back. If I say something like, oh, Fernando is such a moron. You know, he's such an idiot. He's such a, I just wish he was dead. I wish everything bad would just come to him. And what am I speaking? That's like that bramble bush. Speaking it is one thing. Having it come back to you and having to eat it, oh, that's another thing. You think you're going to have peace when you have to eat that thing? You're going to sleep well after eating that? I don't think so. I think you're going to have lots and lots and lots and lots of problems. We're talking about curses. Probably this is not what you wanted to hear, but this is what you have to hear. Some of the biggest curses in your life, you put them there. You like to blame other people for them, but you can't. Because you are the only one that can take responsibility for what you speak with your mouth. But you can fix it. You can fix it by hearing this message and choosing not to get upset with me because I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't go home and say, oh, you know, that Rion, he was just picking on me, man. He must just get a life. No, just calm down, chill, listen to the message. Take it in a good way because it's here to help you. And then make a change in the way you speak. Make a change in the things that you say. You don't have to be negative all the time. You don't have to be destructive when you speak of other people. And you better not gossip. Jesus said, man will have to give an account of every idle word that he speaks. Do you know what an idle word is? If you go and study the Hebrew or the Greek, the word idle means to speak without knowing the facts. Every time you hear something about somebody and you didn't check whether it's true and you speak it again, you speak an idle word. When it comes back to you, it'll bring back judgment. And when you are under judgment, you are not free. You don't have liberty. Amen? You can't grow. You can't be blessed. You can't get rid of a curse unless you stop doing the things that give the curse power. There are a lot of people, they come to church, oh, pray for me for this, pray for me for that, pray for me for that. We pray and pray and pray and pray. But your life will still never change because you still do the things that you did to bring the curse. And it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in your life. You have to change. Now, how do we change this? Well, you have to change your heart. And how do you change your heart? Well, you have to allow God to work there. You see, you can't... Fatima, come here. Now, number two. Come stand here quickly. Let's see how big you can open your mouth. You're a woman, man. You must be able to open it wide. Open. All right. If I push my hand in there, can I go all the way down to her heart and tune something there? It'll never work, will it? Thank you. You can sit down. So I can't touch in there. You can't put your own hand down there to try and change anything. The only one that can change anything there is God. Guess why Jesus needs access to your heart? Because that's the source of the problem. A lot of people like, oh, Jesus came into my heart. My life is perfect now. My friend, you don't understand how these things work. He comes in there because that's the big problem. He comes in there to help you fix it. But you must allow him to start fixing things there. If you don't allow him, nothing is going to change. I've shared this with you before, but let me just tell you one thing. The heart doesn't just have one room. Now, some clever okia is going to say, yes, it's got four. That's not what I'm talking about. The heart has many rooms. Jesus said, I'm going to be with my Father. He has a mansion for each of you, and in that mansion there is many rooms. The house of Christ has many rooms. If you look at my heart, maybe there's 50. If you look at his heart, maybe there's 70. Who knows? I don't know. But here's the thing. When you invite Jesus into your life, this is how it works. Revelation 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in. Jesus doesn't kick down doors. His name is not Chuck Norris. His name is Jesus. Hello? Jesus does not kick down doors. He knocks. And if you choose to open, he will enter. If you choose not to, he won't. He doesn't force himself on you. And so now he's knocked on the front door and you've opened the front door for him. But how many rooms is in your heart? Well, I don't know, but there's plenty. If he knocks at the front door, what makes you think he's just going to walk into every room? He's already told you how he works. He knocks and you must open. You could have Jesus, the foyer. You can have Jesus in the foyer for 20 years, but not allow him to touch any other room in your heart because you've never opened those doors for him. The one door could be called lust. Oh, you've never allowed him to go and touch there. Because you like the Hustler magazine under the bed. It's not like you want to get rid of it. The other room is called bitterness. You like to sit with your friends and like, oh, the world is such a bad place. Oh, you know what? This country's the pits. I want to immigrate. I want this. I want to. If you want to be bitter, if you like to be bitter, don't expect things to change. You first have to open the door and invite Jesus and say, Lord, I don't want to be bitter anymore. Please, I choose to open my heart. Please come and work with me. Please come and help me to change. Apparently my time is up. But the only way for you to change your heart is to allow Jesus to come and touch in the areas where you have a problem. And let me tell you something, Jesus knows whether you're serious or not. I want to explain something to you. Some people don't like the symptoms of the problems in their life, but they actually like the problem. I'll explain to you what I'm talking about. You've got lust. You've messed around on your wife 3, 4, 5, 10 times, so she now wants to kick you out. Now you're thinking to yourself, oh, jeez, I need a wife. Who's going to cook for me? Who's going to clean? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Man, I better go to the pastor and ask for prayer. But you see, here's the thing. You're complaining about the symptom. The symptom is your wife wants to kick you out. But you don't want to deal with the problem because you already got your eye on Tanisani somewhere around the corner. Hello? I'm going to go for prayer tonight. I'm going to show her, ooh, I want to change. Jesus and the devil both know you don't want to. When you ask God to help you, you better be sincere. Because if you're not, He simply won't. Let me tell you something about demons. All demons can be cast out, but that doesn't mean all demons will be cast out. Some people like their demons. The demons know you like them. Don't expect them to go anywhere because they won't. God will deliver you from your enemies. God will not deliver you from your friends. Your friends will stay with you. And they know that you are still friendly with them because they see you've not opened your heart to Jesus. They've got place. They will stay. And remember, if you sleep with a thief, you will never have nothing. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not talking about your husband. I'm talking about the demons in your life. If you've given them place and you will not deal with what's given them place, don't expect anything. You will have nothing. The purpose of a thief is to steal. Whatever is precious to you, they will take from you. If your money is precious to you, say goodbye to it. It's going to go. If your health is precious to you, say goodbye to it. They will take it. They will eat it up. They will destroy it. How do we change our tongues? We first have to change our hearts. Because your tongue can only speak what comes from your heart. How do we change our hearts? With God's help. That's why Jesus lives in your heart. Amen? So He can help you with those things, those problems there. And let me help you to understand something. You know what? There's a lot of churches, they tend to believe something like, once you got Jesus in your heart, everything is fine. No, once you got Jesus in your heart, you can start fixing your life. Salvation is not your destination, it's the start of your journey. When salvation enters you, He can help you to fix your marriage. He can help you to fix your mindset. He can help you to fix your tongue, etc., etc. But you've got to allow Him to. If you don't, nothing is going to happen. The tongue can curse our life. And a lot of people are cursed because of what they say. You know, when you look at the church, church people shouldn't, I'm not going to say they never do this, but church people shouldn't be running around to fortune tellers and running around to witch doctors, etc., etc. So what is the biggest cause of curses in the church? Well, it's not witchcraft. It's not sorcery. It's not divination. It's not fortune telling. It's gossip. It's lies. Guess what? Every time you lie, you go off track. Jealousy and envy. Oh, I hate so-and-so. Why have they got a new car? Why don't I have a new car? I wish the bloody engine ceases. Guess what? The engine might seize on that new car, but you're going to pay for it, not them. God will make you eat those words. And you know, the worst thing about all of this is payback time is sometimes far removed from when you actually said these things and when you actually did these things. Because when you sow something, it doesn't pop up immediately. It takes some time for it to come. And there's probably some people here tonight, you are paying now for things you spoke 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 6 months ago. And now you're sitting here and you're saying, yeah, but I don't understand this. You know, I'm going to church and I'm doing everything right and I'm trying to live according to the Bible. And, well, yeah, this is, nothing is working for me. Well, there's your problem. What you sow, you will reap. It's coming back to you now. How do you stop it from continuing that way? Change what you speak. In another 6 months' time, you'll start reaping blessings. I can't stop the reaping process. What you put into the ground is going to come back to you. But I can get you to stop doing that, and nobody reaps forever. Listen to me. My father used to be a farmer. If you put mealies into the ground now, they grow, they come up, you harvest them. Next season, if you didn't put new mealies into the ground, there's nothing. Hello? You first have to plant them before they can come up. So if you understand what I'm teaching you now, you will change the way you speak and the reaping process will stop. You won't have to keep eating the stuff. And you can ask God for a little bit of, what do you call it? Malox for the stomach. To help you deal with all the indigestion that your words have caused. The blood of Jesus can do wonderful things. And God is merciful. Amen? Did somebody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. I actually want to say this. The Bible says that the tongue is a fire and it sets your entire life on fire. Now, the fire that comes from the tongue is destructive, and the only way to cancel it or to counter it is to get God's fire. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. What is the antidote for Satan's fire in your life? The fire of the Holy Spirit. So guess what I want to pray with you about tonight? Is there anybody here that needs a bit of fire from God? I was expecting somebody to jump up. Is there anybody that needs a bit of fire from God? Yeah. Amen. Well, bless God. I'm sure God's going to give it to you tonight. I have this feeling that He's going to give you plenty. Well, bless God. All right. Ladies, help us with the offering, please. Gentlemen, come and help us with the CD, please.